Welcome to the Thoughts of Suicide podcast. I'm Nate Glover. The idea of the show is to work towards reducing the stigma by having conversations about suicide and mental health, and to provide support to those dealing with suicide in any capacity. If you are in a suicide crisis or experiencing emotional distress, please call 800-273-8255 or text the word HOME to 741-741. Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Thoughts of Suicide podcast. I have a special guest today. She was on the first season. She's a grief coach. I normally do not endorse the guests that I have on. I'll give the links that they have, or, you know, let them plug whatever they do. But I don't know these guests. I don't know their products, so I'm not going to, you know, advise or not advise anyone to use them. You can do what you want. Sarah, on the other hand, I do endorse, because I have a friend that's used her services, and I've been a part of the Facebook group that she has, and she does amazing work. And this is really her passion, and she's really good at what she does. Sarah, thanks for coming on again.
Nate, thank you for that introduction. I was like, that is very kind of you, everything that you have shared. And I appreciate being asked to come back and be part of season two. So just thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Sure. And can you explain a little bit what a grief coach is? Because that, without really knowing the correct answer, I just assume it's a therapist or a counselor that doesn't have a license. Is that correct, or am I way off?
Bits and pieces. So I like where you were going. I was like, all right, you're in the ballpark. So one major difference between what it is that I do as a grief recovery coach versus someone who is a therapist or psychologist or psychiatrist, those realms, is people who work as psychologists and psychiatrists, they're licensed to prescribe medications and whatnot. If they're working with someone who they feel might need medications of some kind. I myself, as a grief recovery coach, I do not have the licensure to prescribe medications to people. I work in tandem, and I have worked in tandem with clients of mine who are seeing psychiatrists or psychologists and therapists and counselors. So I work in tandem with them. And as a grief recovery coach, I am actually licensed and certified to do this work. So yeah, so there are some rules and legalities and whatnot that I obviously have to uphold with doing this work, just due to the nature of the contents, making sure client, coach, confidentiality, all that good stuff. Yeah.
What got you into all this?
Yeah. So real talk, if someone would have told little Sarah that one day she would be doing work as a grief recovery coach, little Sarah would have probably looked at you like, what? I don't even know what that is. And that sounds weird. I had actually been working as a professional session and touring musician before going into this line of work. And it wasn't until, honestly, I think the seeds were being planted the day that my father, who is my best friend to this day, who will always be my hero, it wasn't until he had expressed to the family that he had been diagnosed with cancer, multiple myeloma, actually. And I really feel like that was the day that my life started to take a pivot, and I didn't even really realize that that's when I was actually pivoting. And just being part of cancer journey, not only taking on the role of continuing to be his daughter, but taking on additional roles as caregiver, as personal assistant, as someone who books his appointments, make sure he's fed, multiple different hats. It really opened up my eyes to different aspects of grief, and how grief isn't just about losing someone to a death, but there can be other forms of grief that occur, like as you're taking that journey with someone. And in the midst of that, my second favorite person on this planet, my stepdad, was also diagnosed with a terminal cancer. And unfortunately, both my father and my stepfather, they passed in 2019, just 3 months apart, due to complications of their cancers. And that's really, like, once they passed, that's really what started the journey to looking into avenues on how to truly heal from grief, to determine if it was something that was even possible, where would I even start? And so that's really what led me to become a grief recovery coach.
We talked about so much last time. I actually haven't gotten a chance to go back and re-listen to it, but I remember so much of it. We talked about the myth of the different stages of grief.
Yes.
We talked about the difference between suicide grief and grief from someone passing and any other way. You know, is there a difference? But one of the things that we spoke about that stood out to me, and I quote you almost every time I interview someone, is when you talked about, I love how you talked about it shouldn't be guilt when we think what we should have done differently. That's what we should word it is, what should we have done differently, instead of phrasing it as guilt. Because if I remember right, you said that guilt is something that we intend to do, or we did something. How did you word it? I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, no, I was like, go, Nate, go. I was like, yes, preach. yes, you're definitely on the right track. You know, full transparency. I quote unquote guilty. I've been guilty of using the word guilt as well, you know, because we don't know what we don't know until we know. And so what we had talked about that first time when we got together was guilt. The definition of guilt is when we are intentionally trying to cause harm to someone, right, or to something. And just in my line of work with the people that I've worked with and the people that I currently work with, that is a big part of navigating a grief journey that comes up for a lot of people. It's the guilt aspect. And so a question that I like to compassionately ask everybody in regards to that aspect of grief is, were you intentionally trying to cause harm to this person that you lost? And more often than not, I have yet to this day to have worked with anyone who has ever said that, yes, I was intentional. Most of the time it's, well, no, I would never want to harm that person. And never. And so then I like to encourage the person to, instead of using the word guilt, to look at it more as, this is something that you wish had been done differently, better, or more. So it can feel more like regrets. It's like, I regret not having said or done this, or having said or done this. I regret wishing that we could have done more of this, or this had been done differently. So that being the major difference between my guilt and regret. So I know that's something we briefly touched on that initial time.
Why would you say it is important to make that difference within your phrasing?
So I believe that it's important to differentiate between those two words, because one, they're on two completely different spectrums. One is very intentional. One is just, well, I didn't intend to not spend more time. I didn't intend to say or do this thing. And what a lot of people fall into, which can only just add and accumulate over time to someone's grief, is feeling like they are to blame for something. Like they're already taking on so many of these very challenging emotions, like the sad, like possible sadness and anger or confusion or indifference or everything and anything in between. And when we start placing a lot of that on ourselves, it really comes back to that concept of, were you trying to intentionally hurt this person, or is it just you wishing that you had more time with them? Is it just you wishing that you could have said more, or wishing that you could have taken back that particular statement or that action that occurred? Something, and again, it goes back to something that you wish was different, better, or more within that relationship. And most of the time it's that. Because a lot of people, they beat themselves up. They think it's my fault and I didn't do enough of this. I wish I had seen more signs of this. And it always starts with, I wish this. And so that's why it can be very important to differentiate between the two.
And I think it happens, I would think that it happens even more with a suicide death. You know, you hear a lot, not only do they have guilt or wish they could have done it differently, but we sometimes really do believe that if we would have done it differently, that person would still be alive. And that's, even it's been over 15 years since I lost my brother, and I still think that sometimes. So how does changing the phrasing from guilt to regret, how can that help with that? Can it help with that, that mindset of maybe they would still be around if I would have done something differently?
That's a great question, Nate. So in addition to just the language that we use, not only to seek support and receive support from others, the power of language, especially when it comes to traversing through grief, is so important, because the way we talk to ourselves, the way we even show ourselves support, can be so important. Because if we want to receive that same level of support from people around us, it's like, well, how do I even support myself through this first and foremost? Because how do I ask for help if I don't even know what that looks like? So starting with just the language that we use to talk to ourselves is a big part of it. And I feel like it's just a factor. Yes, really being intentional and practicing and really understanding the difference between guilt and regrets can be very beneficial, but it also takes certain actions. It's like, how do we implement that? Because we tend to say things all day, every day, and then it's like, ah, I'm sorry, I forgot. Okay, I'll try to be more intentional with doing this. And when it comes to grief, it can be challenging to still release some of that guilt, because we can tell ourselves every day, all day, okay, it's not guilt, it's regret. That's right. Oh yeah, that's right. It's not guilt, it's regret. And it just like when you're trying to break a bad habit, we have to take actions to breaking a bad habit. So same with this. This is a habit that we've all been used to. We're all used to using the word guilt to describe these feelings instead of using the word regret. So it's about taking certain specific actions to really help ingrain and implement that particular phrasing and that word, and to really help yourself believe that at your core. Because we can try to tell ourselves, just like telling yourself, I'm going to go to the gym today. I'm going to go to the gym today. And if you don't attach that to something substantial, something tangible that really enforces that idea, it's very hard to stick with it, and you just kind of fall on your defaults. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I also think that if you change it to regret instead of guilt, it can help you do things differently when you're approached with that situation again with somebody else. Right?
Yeah.
So I look at things that I wish I would have said or done differently with my brother. But now if someone tells me, hey, I'm going through this, I really have been considering suicide, or I'm hearing voices, I now know what not to do, or I now know how I could approach it better.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that, Nate. And honestly, just with you feeling comfortable enough to express that, that's a huge revelation. I really believe that coming to that place where you've been able to change that language within yourself, and knowing that you've been able to help people see that perspective and understand that, that's amazing. So I just want to take a moment to acknowledge that just within your own personal journey as well. That's wonderful.
And I thank you for that, because I'd never heard that before I talked to you. And that's where I changed. I remember right after we recorded, that's when I changed my mindset on that. It just made so much sense to me. Another thing I'll never forget about our session is the next few days when I was getting ready to release it, you asked me to hold off for a moment because you had just lost your brother to I believe it was a motorcycle accident.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk me through what your grief looked like then and what it's like now?
So it, ironically enough, today is actually the 1 year anniversary since we had to take him off life support from that accident. And I wanted to be very candid and open and transparent about that, because so many of us, no matter what kind of loss we've experienced, and no matter in which way, a lot of us, we tend to feel like we have to hide these things, or we can't be open about it because we don't want to be judged or critiqued or feel like our feelings or thoughts aren't valid. And so I just wanted to be very open and honest about that first and foremost. And I appreciate you asking this question, because it brings up so many different things. Back then, so yeah, that obviously that was a little over a year ago. Yeah, or about a year ago, I in a place where I felt good, quote unquote, about having really come to this healing point in my journey with the deaths of both of my fathers. And then all of a sudden this happened. And what was interesting, and something that maybe we can talk about here within our discussion as well, is losing my brother, it kind of brought back all of these other things when it came to losing my dad. And it really threw me for a loop because I felt like at that time, I felt that, oh yeah, I'm good. I got this. I'm cool. Okay. Let's on to the next. And then after losing my brother, it reminded me so much of my dad's passing, even though they died from completely different reasons, different scenarios. There were things that my brother's passing, it brought up some things just in regards to my relationship with my dad and other aspects of my grief journey that I didn't even realize I hadn't healed from quite yet. And so it was almost, I don't want to say it was like starting from square one. It was almost like, hey, just, you need to go back to that one chapter in your book of life and just add a little bit more. That chapter's not quite done. We need to add a little bit more to that chapter. And so over this past year, in addition to just healing from my brother's death, other things had come to light just with my dad's passing. And I think you and I had briefly talked about how it's not just about the primary loss, about us losing the person in that moment, but it's also realizing that there's secondary losses to that. It's almost like we feel like we lose all these other aspects. And that is something that really, it became this neon bright flashing light for me with my brother's passing that made me realize, okay, this is bringing up some other things that I've clearly not healed from yet. And they were secondary losses. And so that's, I don't know if that's something that you'd want to touch on, if that's something that you'd be open to chatting about during this discussion.
It was for sure. Because, you know, I think with my family, the phrase when it rains, it pours came up several times because, you know, I lost my brother in January of 2006 to suicide. And as I've talked about on the podcast many times, is that for those several months after that, I really didn't focus on me or on my grief. But then in July, I realized that I needed to, and I joined a support group. It was a survivors of suicide support group. Did that for, I believe it was a couple of months. And I remember at the end of 2006, where, you know, it was going into December and I was starting to feel better. I was getting ready to see family again at Christmas. I knew it was going to be tough because it was going to be the first Christmas without him. And then December 12th, I got a call that my cousin had died in his sleep. He was my age. And the last time I saw my cousin was at my brother's funeral. And he had talked to me about, you know, hey, man, we need to really hang out again, you know, because life is fragile. It brought up my brother Jason's death again, like it was fresh all over again. You know, I thought I was doing good, but I wasn't. And then, so in a way, it made that first one sting more. And then in a way, it's almost like I wasn't able to focus on my cousin's death or as much as I would have because I'm still dealing with my brother's death. And we talk about secondary losses. I think I was telling you the other day, it's not just deaths. You know, right after that, you know, my marriage fell apart. I lost my marriage in the next year after that. I know some people, you know, lose their jobs shortly after someone dies. The risk of suicide increases when a family member commits suicide. So, you know, we see a lot of these secondary losses, and it was kind of wanting to get, yeah, your perspective on it and how it affects different people. And I knew your brother was, you know, somewhat of a secondary loss.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just want to take a moment to, again, acknowledge, just thank you for showing your vulnerability, for allowing to share just about your cousin and your personal experience with loss. And so I just want to just show my appreciation to you, Nate, and thank you for being open to sharing that. I want to start off when we say secondary, I don't want anyone to think, oh, when you're saying secondary, that's not in the sense that the impact is secondary. It's rather that it's a secondary result of the primary loss. So we're not trying to say that this, you know, we're not trying to say that these things aren't as important as that primary loss. Because again, each person is different and we can't make assumptions, and, or at least I'd like to encourage people not to make assumptions that, oh, that this is less than what initially happened, because it can, it's different for each person. And so I just wanted to first start off by saying that, that by saying secondary, it doesn't mean that the impact is necessarily secondary. It can feel like that way sometimes, but it's more of a secondary result of the primary result. And I can relate to how you felt with like, hey, I don't know that I'm really focusing so much on my cousin's passing. This is just bringing up a lot of stuff from my brother when he passed. And that's, I had very similar thoughts when my brother passed. I'm like, okay, I'm devastated and in shock that this is happening. But yet it's bringing up so much more about what happened with my dad. And so when it comes to just the whole idea, concept of a secondary loss, you know, things of that nature, just like, and you shared a couple of them, you'd mentioned that your marriage ended up falling apart and some people do lose their jobs. I mean, it's secondary loss can be a change in different relationships, the relationships that you have with other family members, the friends around you, other mentors, because it's almost as if when, especially if we're talking, if we're using this particular context, someone dying, it's almost like the relationship you have with other family members, other friends, other mentors, it changes. Some people get uncomfortable. They don't know what to say, or they don't say anything. And aspects of the relationship can change. Sometimes it changes for the positive. Sometimes it changes to be a little bit more sour because people just don't know how to react to you anymore. They're like, how do I respond? How do I show care? I'm not sure how. Or for some people, your emotions or thoughts can feel too big for them. And they're like, I just won't say anything, or I'll just constantly change the subject. So a secondary loss can be recognizing that the relationship that you have with the people around you suddenly changes after this grief experience. It can be the loss of an income because you had to take time off of work, or you're absolutely devastated that you can't even focus or concentrate at work. So you end up getting fired or you quit. So you're like, I can't think of anything. I don't know left from right, up from down. It can feel like even the intangibles, such as like loss of safety, loss of confidence, loss of faith. There are people that have initially, before experiencing a loss, felt like they were very strong within their spiritual or religious beliefs. And then after going through a heavy grieving experience, some people lose their faith, or some people kind of wander. So that can be loss of faith. Some of the intangibles can be the scary ones, because those are ones that we don't even realize occur half the time. And a big one, I think, for people, and I think to some level, this affects everyone, is there is some type of loss of identity of some kind within each person. And that looks different for everybody. I don't know about you, Nate, but I know for myself, just like I had shared earlier, when my dad was diagnosed with his cancer, I took on many roles. I wasn't just a daughter anymore. I was caregiver. I was personal assistant. I was his chauffeur. I was his chef. I took on many different roles. And then once he passed, all those roles disappeared. And I remember for myself feeling like, am I still a daughter? Am I, like, who am I now? Like, who, where do I stand in this? This person is no longer physically here. And even for those of us who do have some kind of spiritual or religious thing that we lean on, because I do have a faith that I believe in, but even with that, like, that dwindled heavily when I lost both of my fathers. I didn't want to have anything to do with my religion, and I had lost my faith. I'd lost my faith. I had lost my sense of identity. I had lost income because I couldn't focus at my job at that time, what I was doing. I even felt the loss of the support system around me, because I felt no one really understood or knew how to give me the support that I needed. And to be quite honest, I didn't even know what kind of support I needed. There was even this sense of this loss of dreams for the future. It's like, well, I wanted to take more trips with my dad. I wanted to celebrate his 80th birthday. I wanted to do all these things. And so I think in addition to just the primary loss, whatever that might be, whether it's the death of a person, or if someone is going through a breakup or a divorce, or if someone was just diagnosed with a terminal illness, whatever the grief experience is, the secondary losses that come with that, those are the things that we feel that we have to work through every day. The primary loss happened, and then it's like the ripple effects. It's like the byproduct of that primary loss that we're dealing with in the everyday. And I feel like those aspects are really what challenge people to ask themselves, can I keep doing this? And, you know, when you shared that the suicide rate increases, especially for those who have lost loved ones to suicide, I mean, go figure. I mean, it's in the everyday, because now you're trying to figure out, what is this new reality of mine? What does that even look like? Who am I? Where do I go? Who do I be? What am I doing? And I don't know if you can relate to any of that. I don't know if any of that resonates with you, but that's definitely things that I discovered and I found, and things that I had to work through, and things that I learned about myself that came to light when I lost my brother, because it was those aspects that made me realize that I hadn't quite healed some of those things from my dad's passing.
Yeah, it does resonate. And one thing I wanted to clear up, because I realized I may have worded it wrongly, is when I lost my cousin, it wasn't that I didn't focus on his death. What I meant to say is I felt guilty that I probably didn't grieve as much as I would have if I wouldn't have lost my brother just less than 1 year before. In a way, my brother's death affected my emotions when I would lose people going forward. And sometimes I was more sensitive to things, and sometimes I was less sensitive to things. It's hard to kind of define it, but I did notice that everything was out of whack. So as far as an effect of that, it's just kind of my outlook on life. Like, yeah, it really changed a lot of things, a lot for the good. But some, yeah, I wouldn't say every change was good. And, you know, I think that's kind of up to us, you know, how we want the loss to affect us. I would never say that losing someone is a good thing. One thing that bugs me is when people say, well, you know, maybe this is what was meant to be, or, you know, we need to find the silver lining. That's not helpful to me. And I don't like it when people say that, but I do think that my brother's life has changed me for the better, not necessarily his death, but I can look back at his life and appreciate, you know, his humor, appreciate his intelligence, appreciate, you know, his passion for like the game of chess. And, you know, so I've been playing chess with my son, and it just brings back so many good memories of playing chess with my brother, because I never could beat him. And my son's 9, and I don't think I'm going to be able to beat him either. So.
I apologize if I misinterpreted or if I heard that incorrectly. So I appreciate you just sharing that and just letting me know that, yeah, this is what you actually meant. So I apologize if that caused any offense or anything to come up.
Oh, no, you didn't take it wrong. Definitely it was just me living up here in my head just thinking, wait, did I say that right?
No, that's okay. But I'm glad that you shared. I'm glad that you felt comfortable enough to express that. So thank you. Thank you for that. And I got to say, I love that you are taking on these actions, these activities, these things that, one, not only help continue to deepen and strengthen the bond that you have with your kids, but it really continues to strengthen and deepen that bond that you have with your brother. And in keeping those memories alive and keeping his legacy, his essence, his being ultimately alive in your heart, in your mind, and within your family. And I think that's absolutely beautiful. And so I appreciate you sharing that.
When you lost your brother, did your work as a grief coach help you? Or did that all go out, all of everything you've learned and taught other people, did that go out the window when your brother died?
Yeah, I love these questions. Thank you. I'm all about transparency. And again, just real talk. In the moment that everything happened, I got to say that first initial week, I leaned very heavily on my mentors, on the people that helped me receive my certification, my license with doing this work, because I remember calling them and just crying, bawling my eyes out and just saying, hey, I just feel like jello. I can't focus on anything. This just happened. I just need a support system. And you all understand the myths and misinformation that's out there around this. I just feel like I can't talk to anyone else about this because no one else is going to understand. And I got to say, having even just that one person who came from this place where they understood, where we had the same level of knowledge and information, it was very helpful. And I allowed myself to grieve in my own way. But I got to say, with having this knowledge, because having the experience and the training that I had, it helped tremendously. It helped me really work through my brother's passing. And it was definitely something that I wish I had had before my dad's had passed. Because I when I look back at how I was in both cases, it's like night and day. When both of my fathers passed, I didn't have any tools. I didn't have any resources. I just felt completely overwhelmed, lost, scared, because I just didn't know what to lean on, who to lean on, what to do. And when my brother passed, I was so grateful and so thankful that I at least had some tools in my tool belt, so to speak, that I could lean on, that I could use to really work through and start that healing process with my brother's death. So it honestly, all again the same way as far as when I did it, because being able to look at how I was before my dad's passed and how I was when my brother passed, it was really a humbling moment and a teaching moment. And so I'm really glad that I went through the training that I went through. So the tools were very, very helpful.
It kind of fits with the theme of why I'm doing this podcast, because you hear so much that people say, well, I didn't know what to say, or I didn't know what to do. And I think we can know what to say and know what to do if these conversations are had. And if we talk about suicide, if we talk about grief, if we talk about these things, it could be more common knowledge on how to handle it when you're approached with it. Because I had no idea. In 2006, if I would have had the knowledge that I have now just from talking to you and the other guests I've had on this podcast, just so much I've learned that everyone needs to know, because everyone is affected by suicide. I mean, the numbers are so high. If you either have a loved one, a family member that has committed suicide, or you yourself have seriously considered it. I mean, that's just numbers. And so just these conversations need to be had. And it really encourages me to see that there's other podcasts doing this as well. And there's other people that are, you know, just really opening up the conversation. It's not a fun conversation at all, but it does need to be had.
Yes, I agree. It's definitely not a conversation that most people are initially drawn to, because it can bring up a lot of heavy yet delicate feelings and thoughts around it. And just depending on how the person was raised, their own inner programming, that can really help determine where the conversation's going to go, because some people tend to either shut down or they run away from it. It's too scary. Or there are those that want to dive in and be like, I've always wanted to talk about this. Oh, it feels so good to finally talk about this. You're going to get people from all ends of the spectrum. But I agree that just having platforms like this, podcasts, groups, anything that really just shines a light on the myths that are out there around grief, all the misinformation, and really helping to re-educate and really just shine a light to bring some of these things to the surface can be so helpful, because it's not only great information to have for everybody so everyone has a better idea of how to support others through this, but it just helps to continue to break the cycle, break the stigma that is around the grief and loss and suicide and talking about these things. Because unfortunately, just like you said, someone at some point is going to experience this in some way. They either have a family member or a friend who will have tried to take their own life, whether they succeeded or not, or they themselves may have tried. I mean, again, in full transparency, when I was 15, I had tried to take my own life. So I can speak to that and just the feelings of what it's like to feel just a hopelessness and to be in that dark space where someone brings themselves to that place. And it's a real thing. It is a real thing that needs to have more light shown on the topic. And so I really appreciate you creating a platform that shines a light and that allows opportunities for people to really speak their truth and share wisdom and knowledge and share their stories.
And I thank you for what you do. And I really thank you for coming on. You were one of my first guests on the podcast, either second or third, I don't remember. And I learned so much from talking to you. I know we're both short on time today, so we do have to go, but I hope that you can join again, or even we can do some short Instagram videos if you have some thoughts that you'd like to share with the people that follow my Instagram. I would love to do that, because I've really found a lot of things you share insightful. And my friend who's in your program, she said the same thing. She really appreciates you. And so, yeah, I definitely endorse your program. Can you talk about that and where people can find you and what that's about?
I would love to. First of all, I am down like James Brown for these Instagram reels or lives. That would be fantastic. Anything to spread more awareness and education. As far as if anyone has really resonated with the information that I've shared, and for anyone who is curious in what it even means or looks like to start on a healing journey, I have a private Facebook group called The Healing Journey Home, where I help educate and just shine light and create awareness around grief and loss. And whether you're grieving the loss of a pet, a family member, a spouse, a child, you're grieving a breakup or a divorce, you're grieving a change in your physical health, I welcome everybody, because I never want anyone to feel like they have to compare their loss to someone else. And so it's nice to have a plethora of different types of grievances within the group. And you are welcome to share as much or as little as you would like within the group. It's just a community I wanted to create to, again, birth more awareness and be able to use the platform to help educate. And so that is a group if someone wants to start with a baby step as far as being in a community like that. If someone would like to reach out to me personally and just have a conversation, just to inquire and be curious about what a healing journey would look like for them specifically, I have a website that is www.sarahthegriefcoach.com, and that's SARAH, and then just the grief coach. So sarahthegriefcoach.com, where you can just learn a little bit more about my story, the programs that I provide for people. And I would just love to chat with anyone who's just curious about what it looks like to start healing. And so I would say my website and the Facebook group is the best way to really reach out. And I have an Instagram as well, same handle, @SarahTheGriefCoach. And I would just love to be able to chat with anyone who has curiosity around this topic.
Yeah. And all three of those links are in the podcast show notes. You can click on those, as well as the Instagram to this podcast. And look forward to doing some short videos whenever we have something that we'd like to share with each other's group.
That would be great.
All right. Well, thank you again so much for coming on. You have a great evening.
Thank you, Nate. I appreciate you. And just thank you to everyone that takes the time to listen, and just sending everybody lots of peace, love, and light.